Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Sanctuary Studio in Landover Hills, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will and shall rejoice and be glad in it. In the studio this evening with my big sister, Sheila G. How you doing?
I am blessed. Thank you very much.
And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G. How you doing, sir?
We're blessed.
Glad to see you all and Miss Jessie back on the block.
Yeah.
I tell you, God is good.
Yes, he is.
And greatly to be praised.
Yes, I think
I'm going to say that again.
Yes, all right.
God is good and greatly to be praised.
Hallelujah.
Everybody knows and knows God that he's greater and bigger than any situation or circumstance
That
this world has to offer.
That's the truth. Yes,
and so when they rise up, these situations and circumstances, and they will rise up,
we
just have to know that God is bigger and greater than any situation and circumstance, and nothing takes God by surprise.
Right.
Amen.
Lord have mercy.
Amen.
We're going to get into the word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And we'd like to also wish our dad a belated happy birthday.
He
celebrated the 82 years on yesterday.
Yes,
and we know that, again, there's nothing too hard for God.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
He has experienced the victory of God, and we're just grateful that God blessed him to see 82 years.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to get into the word. Last week, we were in Matthew, the 12th chapter. And one of the things that we were talking about is how people need to use common sense when it comes to the word of God, and how people get caught up on things that really shouldn't catch them up on legalism or legalistic. But when Jesus said that he was Lord over the Sabbath, and healed somebody, he showed compassion. And that's what we were talking about last week, about Jesus having compassion. And it wasn't a legalistic thing, it was a compassionate thing. And those Pharisees or those religious rulers at that time, they were more concerned about utilizing the law for themselves, mm-hmm. for their own benefit,
mm-hmm.
and could care less about anybody else.
Yeah.
So if you pop back verse 13, Matthew 12, verse 13, it says, "Then said he to the man, stretch forth thy hand, and he stretched forth his hand, and it was restored whole like as the other." And this was the critical part in verse 14, is these folks didn't want Jesus to heal the man on the Sabbath day.
No.
He said, you'll take better care of your sheep
right.
that falls into the ditch.
Mm-hmm.
You'll do all kind of stuff on the Sabbath day. But his disciples were eating, and they said, oh, they're pulling corn off the box
mm-hmm.
on the Sabbath. So in other words, you should starve to death on the
Amen.
Sabbath if you're hungry, and you can't heal somebody on the Sabbath. And so after he did that, look at verse 14. Look at this. This is how people are. This is what sin, Dr. G, this is what a sin nature does to people. In verse 14, it says, then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him.
Because
he healed somebody on the Sabbath day.
Mm-hmm.
How they might destroy him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here is the Messiah
Amen.
Healing and showing compassion
miraculous.
On
mm-hmm.
someone. And they have the audacity to be indignant and say, you're not supposed to do that on the Sabbath. And actually try to destroy him for healing somebody.
Amen.
It just shows you how corrupt sin has and
right.
what it does to man's mind, and that to the point where he has no compassion, that he only thinks about himself.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And that he has no concern for God.
Nope.
It's just me, myself,
yes, and
I.
All right.
Ego.
And it's the same thing today. You look at what's going on in the world today,
mm-hmm.
and people are killing each other.
Yeah.
People
mm-hmm.
are being so mean and so nasty
yeah.
and hatred and putting one group against the other group and,
mm-hmm.
and all because they want it their way.
Their way.
And, you know, that's where we say there's nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same thing that Satan kicked out of heaven.
Hello.
Here he is, a covering angel.
That's right.
Right next to the seat of God, but he's not good with that. He's talking about, I want to ascend the throne. I want to be like the Most High God. He wants to take God's position. Here you are, a created being,
mm-hmm.
talking about you want to take the position of the Creator.
That's
what is wrong with us?
Arrogance. And it is, and it all becomes about us. And we're selfish. Those senses, following those senses. And here they are so stuck on
stupid.
On religion, tradition, the way it used to be, that they can't accept the change that God is allowing to help to draw others to Christ. They don't see the miracle. So they would rather condemn the miraculous
yeah.
to stay comfortable. And how many of us just want to stay comfortable? Stay in that little pocket, stay in that little zone,
mm-hmm.
stay in that little box.
Amen.
Instead of going beyond the box and reaching out
nope.
and doing things a little differently
Mm-mm.
to follow God's mission. Because ultimately, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to help other people become saved. And ultimately, that's what that Pharisee should have said. Oh, you know what? Here's the Messiah. And he's here to save lives. Let's go out here and do this as well. But no, it's like, this is our box. This is what we're used to. We're not going to change. It's our way or the highway, and they're just stuck in their ways.
Oh, we've been doing this for 25 years.
Exactly. And that's the way it's always been. And
that's the way it's always been in the church.
Uh-huh.
That's the way it's always been. That's the way it's always been. But he's not taking away the law.
Nope.
He's just trying to enhance it and encourage it. He's trying to say, okay.
He's showing the compassion
of
the law.
This is what you all are missing.
Right.
Okay, you guys got this. Okay, you're following the law. You got this, whatever.
But
you're missing the point because you're the only ones that are getting it. And I have six people out here that need to be drawn and need to be saved. And you can, instead of being part of that opportunity to help with salvation, you want to be a stumbling block.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
And because you know it's going to make you look bad, so you just want to get rid of me.
Just destroy.
Because Amen. It's all about people, how you, pleasing people. You want to be the popular one, and he's making you look bad.
Wow. People pleasers. Mm-hmm. Dr. G, what's going on with people pleasers?
Well, you know, we live in the midst of them, even in the church, you know, from the pulpit to the door. I remember when I first started preaching
mm-hmm.
and some of the stories that I heard, but I had to learn that it's not about preaching what folk want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to give them what they need, whether they like it or not.
Amen.
And on many occasions, it's going to get real quiet.
Yeah.
Amen. And at that point, you just keep preaching and telling the truth, especially if God gives it to you.
Right.
Amen. Because we haven't been put down here to appease folk.
Mm-hmm.
As Sheila, Jesus said, you know, we're put down here to reach folk, to tell people about Christ. But when you look at these Pharisees, you know, they were all about themselves, as you said, and to change meant that they would have to come out of that little
Uh-oh.
Element that
Uh-oh.
They were in. You know, this is the way, that tradition. You know, Christ came that the law might be fulfilled.
Amen.
Amen.
He didn't come
Amen.
To break it.
Amen.
Amen.
And he showed the compassion of the law.
Mm-hmm.
Something where you're speaking the truth and people don't want to hear the truth.
Right.
And because you're speaking the truth, they try to destroy you.
Amen.
And you know, I was talking to somebody about that, about work, just on your job. It's like, you know, people have done stuff for years and they've done it wrong.
Amen.
And you go, well, just because you did it for years
doesn't mean it's right. Mm-hmm.
And then when you show them how to do it right, then they want to try to destroy you.
Exactly.
Because you're making them look bad.
Thank
exactly.
you.
Or sometimes it's not even so much that they've done it for years and it was wrong. It may have been right 10 years ago, but based off the circumstances that we are 10 years later,
times change.
It needs to change.
Right.
And it's like, but no, that's how we've always done it. I mean, I'm not saying that you're not wrong. I'm saying that we need to change that and address it this way. And the Pharisees were like, no, we'll just destroy you. Before we change, I'm going to kill you.
Wow.
And you know that is people have terrible attitudes like
yeah.
that. Even in today,
yeah.
and you wonder why people don't come to worship, people
right.
don't come to church.
Mm-hmm.
Right? As soon as someone walks in and they don't fit into our clique or
right.
our tradition,
yeah.
you know, we make them feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And if you don't feel comfortable, it's like,
I'm not coming back here anymore.
These folks over here, they done lost their mind.
Right. Right. And that's where we have lost our compassion because we've become so important.
Oof. Let's go down to verse 15. Now, this is the other side of this. He healed them, and then what happens is now people are just coming for the healing. They're just – so let's look at verse 15. It says, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from them, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. And in verse 16, he says, and charged them that they should not make him known. So in other words, he healed the multitude, but it came to a point where they were just looking out for what they
what
wanted.
They could get out of it.
So their heart was not as worshiping God,
right.
or being changed by wanting a desire to be in a relationship with God. They just wanted to get what they can get.
Amen.
Sort of like some of those relationships that, you know, some of the young people get into.
Mm-hmm.
So they just want to get what they can get.
Yeah, and roll out.
And roll out.
That's right.
But Jesus said, don't tell anybody. And he healed them all. But the thing is what was their motive?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Was their motive, okay, he healed me, now I want to serve him? Or,
mm-hmm.
oh, he healed me. Now I'm going to do my thing.
Right.
And Dr. Z, a lot of times people come to the church and they get the healing or they get their blessing, and then 2-3 months after they get the healing and blessing,
right,
you don't see them anymore.
Amen.
Amen.
And you're right. You know, and it's a shame that it's like that. That's why you wonder sometimes, you know, why do folk come and supposedly accept Christ? They go through all the emotional part of it. You know, they're hurting. But then as soon as the Lord brings them out, they fall back into that same old path.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they go through it again, mm-hmm. they show up again, mm-hmm. get out of it, all on back. Mm-hmm. And it's a pattern.
And that's what people tend to do. And part of it is because once they've come out of it, they start to rely on themselves again and
mm-hmm.
not really recognize the blessing or the miracle that God and the opportunity that God has given.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they've come out of it, But it's like, okay, now let me go back to my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go back to the way I was. And then it becomes a cycle. But what happens is when you do that, you grow stronger.
Right.
So regardless if you go back into it or not, the enemy is still going to attack you.
That's right.
Right.
What happens when that next attack comes, you're not strong enough to withstand it.
Right.
So you get into this vicious circle until you make that change in your life. Then you can stand up to the problem and say, okay.
And the thing about it is this is showing the compassion ultimately of Christ, that even the weakest person, even the person that stumbled and made the most mistakes, still there with his arms wide open.
Yes,
That's the ultimate love.
Uh-huh.
The ultimate love is that even though I'm taking stripes for you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to close up, but he still got his arms stretched wide open with hands with nails in it, with feet with nails in it, with a crown of thorns on his head. And he still got his arms wide open,
mm-hmm.
saying, come unto me.
Yes.
All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I am the Messiah. I'm the one that came. And so he's not going to turn anybody away. So when these people came to him, even if they didn't have the right motive, he still healed them.
Mm-hmm.
And
when
we mess up,
thank you.
And we go back out there and do same old stupid stuff again,
mm-hmm.
he's still standing there with his hands wide open, his arms wide open. And we in the flesh don't understand it because if somebody smacked us once,
hey, come on then.
And we said, all right, I'm going to give you that one.
We're not,
all right.
But if they come back and smack me again,
hello,
I'll never speak to you again.
I got problems with that.
All right.
Right? Uh-uh. Exactly.
Turn the other cheek.
Uh-huh.
I turned that cheek one time. I ain't got any cheeks now.
And see, the thing is, it shows us that we all still are striving to get to where Christ is and to be what he is. And none of us have reached that point yet in our lives. And, you know, folks who say they've got it all worked out, and they lie.
They lie.
Because the Bible says that we all have sinned and come
short
of the glory of God, and there's none righteous but one. So it doesn't matter how long you've been on this journey. You know, just because you've been on it a long time doesn't make you complete in Christ until we die, get out these old sinful bodies,
right.
and go be with the Lord.
That's
will
right.
we be able to say that?
Because we have those emotions.
Yeah.
Because there's a part of us that doesn't want to turn.
Nope.
There's a part
Hello.
Of us that wants to lash
wants
out.
To fight.
It's
Might as well
nothing
keep it
more
real.
For us to feel better for
Amen.
A couple of minutes.
Amen.
Even if the next day, like, I shouldn't have done it.
Lord convict you big time.
But it's like at that moment, you just lash out to get it out. But when you look at Jesus as the ultimate example, he did this. He healed those people and said, don't recognize us. How many times these people in the church that have to be up front so everybody can recognize
Amen.
Them? How many people, how many relationships do we have? If you don't look at me, if you don't talk to me, if you don't say something to me, then I'm all in my feelings.
Mm-hmm. If you don't acknowledge
but if you
me.
Don't acknowledge that I did this, because I'm so-and-so, and I'm sister, and I'm brother, and you did not you acknowledge that one, but you didn't acknowledge this one. Jesus, it says multitude. And he said,
all the multitude.
He said,
all
I healed all the multitude. And he knows that most of those people weren't grateful.
Mm-hmm.
But he still said, but okay, I did it because I loved you, but don't go and tell anybody. Because
wow.
I don't need the rest of it. I did it because it was the right thing to do. And how often do we do things just because it's the right thing to do? It may not
seen.
Make sense.
We won't be seen.
It may not make sense. We may not be seen. We may not even be acknowledged for it ever and ever again. But God sees it.
There
and
you
that's
go.
That's how God wants
that's
us to be.
Key.
He doesn't want us to do things for people so that people will recognize us because people are funny.
Hello.
Say that again.
Sometimes.
Funny.
It depends on what kind of mood they're
Thank
in.
Thank you.
They will take it, and they may or may not say thank you. We were studying Sunday school about the 10 lepers. Healed them all, and only one.
One.
Said, oh, by the way, thank you, Jesus.
Sometimes there's nothing new under the sun.
Nope.
Right.
Nothing new under the sun. But that compassion is that he healed them all. And it's amazing of how many times the human will fall down and God says, okay, I walk this walk. And that's the awesome thing about Jesus, is that he spent time in the flesh.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He understands the pool. He understands the soul. He understands the tired. Anybody ever been tired?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah.
Oh, wow. Were you tired?
Yeah.
And you're at the point where you're just like, well, I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't. And a lot of times, and I know me personally, if I'm tired and I've been burning it from end to end and in the middle, if someone comes to me in the wrong way, it's not going to be pretty.
It's going to be ugly. That's why it's best to be by yourself when you like that.
And you just have to take a day. I took a day Sunday.
Yeah. That's how you got to do that.
And didn't do anything. Didn't say nothing. Didn't do anything. Just stayed and didn't do nothing.
Did you brush your teeth?
Yeah. Yeah.
At least you did that.
But I mean, it was just a thing of
being nurtured.
But
by the
Jesus
Lord.
Knows this.
Yeah.
He understands what it is to walk and to be hot and to be tired and folk getting on your nerves.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Even Jesus got tired.
And he understood. He had to go to sleep.
Yeah.
And they still with
him. And they still woke him up.
They still woke him up. And he snapped. You're right. It was like he was in deep sleep.
Oh, ye of
finally
little faith.
Rested.
Right.
And he's like, dang on it. Oh, ye of little faith. He didn't say it all nicely. He didn't say, oh, ye of little faith.
Right.
No, he was like, I have given you everything you need. Now you're going to wake me up. There's a little bit of sleep I can get.
Right.
And you could, all you had to do is have the faith to take care of it.
So now I don't feel that bad about Sunday.
But there were quite a few times when you really study your word,
where
Lord Jesus, especially towards his disciples, lashed out and was like, you guys still don't get it.
Right.
And that's the same thing as our worship leaders, as our pastors. They're always to just stroke your ego. Sometimes they do have to shake you up or point out to God's word. And yes, it does get frustrating. But the congregation is like, no, you're supposed to take all the stuff that I give you.
24/7.
And keep on smiling.
And throw in, too, that as leaders, there are times when we've got to pull away, refresh ourselves, and regroup. Because if we just keep going and going, sooner or later we will snap.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then that will give them something to talk about.
Right. Absolutely.
Amen.
And here he has this compassion. He just, okay, I know all y'all don't have the right motive, but I'm still going to hear you. I come to fulfill. And here it is. He's fulfilling the scripture. And this is what's so sad about the Pharisees. They were supposed to be getting the information. They're the religious leaders. They're supposed to be working with the scribes. They're supposed to know all the scriptures and everything and know who the Messiah is, because it was prophesied, and they should know all these scriptures. So in verse 17, it says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying, behold, my servant whom I am chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. In other words, the Pharisees should have known that Jesus was the one that came to show this compassion to the people, to the multitudes, to the Gentiles, to the Jews. But they were so pious that they couldn't see it. They couldn't recognize the prophetic coming through to fruition. They couldn't understand.
Right.
They knew the word, but they didn't know the word.
Mm-hmm.
It was Jesus.
Right.
They knew the word, but they didn't know the word. They didn't know Jesus. And a lot of times, Dr. G. Sheila G., is people know the word, but they don't know the word.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know the God of the word.
Mm-hmm.
They know the word, but they don't know the Jesus of the word. They know the word, but they don't know the spirit, the Holy Spirit of the word.
Mm.
A lot of times people can quote scripture back and forth, upside down, sideways, let you know where the thee, the thou, the thuses are, but still
don't know
how to live it and to apply it.
Amen.
To everyday life.
That's right. And unfortunately, that happens in leadership.
Yeah.
And that is why our churches are not filled from the pulpit to the door, because the leadership, the ones that know the word, have access to it,
mm-hmm.
are not taking that access, applying it in their lives, so it will draw others to want to know and want to grow in that as well.
Amen. And it's clearly they didn't know the God of the word. Jesus came. He said, I come this time to change and set the kingdom up in your heart. He said, I didn't come to overthrow the Roman government.
Right.
I came to get you all straight first.
Right.
Right.
Set it up in your heart. And so a lot of times the church looks out our four walls and our windows and talks about how terrible the world is. The world is terrible. But what about the heart of those that are inside the church? And see, this is the compassion that Christ had, that he understood that people have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so in spite of his shortcomings, he understood if I show compassion and love to them, that can change those stony hearts. That can change their hearts and their minds. And so they can recognize the kingdom. And so we have to be so, stop being so critical, judgmental of the people that haven't got there yet.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's one of my biggest pet peeves is people that, particularly if you've been in the church a long time, and we all know that we haven't been all these wonderful people all the
time. Amen.
And we all, I was just sharing some things about when I, because my son Aaron turned 21 today.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just telling my daughter some of the things when I turned 21, how I thought I was this, that,
and didn't know
what.
Mm-hmm.
But people forget that. It's like, okay, I'm experienced now. I've lived life now. But not realizing that you've been there.
Exactly.
And so now, since you're so high and mighty, you're going to look down your nose at someone else instead of meeting them where they are and helping them to draw and help them to grow to get to where you are.
Yeah.
It's like, I got mine. You got to figure out your own.
Which is a terrible attitude.
Amen.
And when you look at Jesus, his word in verse 19, he said, he shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench till he send forth judgment unto victory. In other words, he's so humble, he's so meek, he's so compassionate, he's so gracious that he's not going to turn anyone away. Just like he said, we forget where we came from. We forget when we was the thug of the week or the freak of the week. Did I say that? The thug of the week or the freak of the week? We forget that. And so how do we have the eyes to be able to look at someone when they're out there being the thug of the week or the freak of the week and say, oh, they shouldn't do that. They shouldn't be that. We forget when we were the sinner just like everybody else. And like you said, Dr. G, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Yeah.
We might not have been done that particular sin, but we did some other sin. Because the Bible says after nobody did the same sin as Adam, but we sinned after the similitude or similar to it.
That's
right. So a lot of times people say, well, I've never done that in my life. Well, I've never done that. Well, you did some other things.
Come on. And you need that love and compassion. And thank the Lord that God did forgive you. So why don't you share that with someone else so they can get past what they're stuck in.
Exactly.
And why are you going to leave your brother in the mud when you can reach down, help him up, clean him off, tell him where the bathroom is, give him a bath, wash the hair so that they can move on. But you'd rather sit there and let them stay in the mud so that it makes you look better?
Yeah.
We get in those positions just like with the Pharisees, and we become, as you said, so pious, so religious that, you know, not only do we can't look, but we don't want to because we're comfortable in those positions. And when you look at these Pharisees, part of me, you know, Spirit was just talking, they didn't want to see the Messiah come because they didn't understand what he was coming for. And because they were in those high positions, they did not want to give those up.
No.
So they weren't looking, not really looking.
Uh-uh.
So they turned their nose up at folks.
Oh, my God.
The pastor preached a couple of Sundays ago at an evening service from Jonah, and the title was, and it was for Deacon's Day, and the title was, Hear My Lord, Send Somebody Else. And he was talking about Jonah.
Send somebody else, yeah.
He sent somebody
else.
He
didn't want to go to Nineveh.
and he
didn't want to see them saved.
And that's what his point was. He was talking to those officers of deacon and deaconess. It's like, okay, here you are. God's brought you here, but now you don't want to work.
Mm-hmm.
Now you don't want to go out into the vineyard to draw others. Now you don't want to do outreach. You just want to sit there in your white
got
and all
position.
Look nice. You got your
look
little
good.
Position. And say, here I am, Lord, but send somebody else.
Yeah. And Jesus never turned. He won't turn even a smoking flax. The smoking flax is like just the smallest thing that holds an ember in it that could start a fire. And if we understood that there sometimes people they might not be where they need to be or they might not Beavis great big I'm on fire. But the potential is still there.
Hello.
Right.
Hello.
And if anybody ever started a fire or you had a fire go out in your fireplace and if you stoke that thing just the right way,
back up. Yeah.
It's going to flame back up
right.
And it could be another roaring fire.
Right.
And he said he won't quench anybody like that.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But we get so down on
people
when they make mistakes or they turn away or they do some stuff. But that Jesus compassion says, I'm not going to give up on them.
All right.
Because I know they're a smoking flax.
That's
I know
right.
If I blow on them a little bit and stoke them or give them a little bit of courage, they can turn back on. That's not to say they're not going to die back down.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
Amen. And how many times have we died back down?
Amen.
Amen.
And need somebody
Amen.
To come and
come
stoke us again.
Amen.
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 But it's easy when you on fire to say, oh, they ain't doing nothing. They ain't
right.
doing it. They ain't doing that.
All
but
right.
you ain't always been on fire,
no,
honey.
Come on.
No. And then there's days today that you're still not. You like, you know what, I'm tired. But. Again, God never gives up on us, even when we're tired.
It's awesome. And like you said, Dr. Z, we haven't arrived.
Nope.
We way short. We come up short.
Way short.
And to understand, that's why it's so important to study the Bible and get into these conversations, because we need to have more compassion. But if we don't study this, if we
Hello.
Don't see the example of Christ, if we don't get into the Word in this depth, in depthness, what will happen is we will still have that funky attitude. And we won't be the disciples or the ones that
right.
should be drawing
ambassadors.
We don't have that. But you got to get in and understand that God did this in spite of the people. We got to learn to love in spite of.
Right.
To realize that there is a God that's trying to reach the lost, that wants to use us as his disciples to go and to set an example of who he is and what he can be.
Amen.
And that should be our ongoing drive and our force to want to learn and to do that and not get caught up in the positions, the titles, not get caught up in, okay, I've lived this for 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you still might, like I said, let somebody smack you.
Hello.
I don't know what they might do, but let them smack you and you turn the other cheek.
Come on.
And get smacked again.
Uh-huh.
I won't see you.
Uh-huh.
I won't see you. Miss High and Mighty, Mr. High and Pious.
And you know we all get upset. Yes, we do. And like I said, you may react that day, and then you wake up in the middle of the night, Lord assist me.
Oh, convicted.
You know you should not have acted that way, and you ask God to forgive you. We have all done that.
Yeah.
We still do it. Yeah.
Living
you
in
know,
the flesh.
People will get on your nerves.
Living in the flesh.
And you don't do the 10-second rule, and it flies out. And then at that point, it's out there, and so your pride won't let you say, oh, you know what, I shouldn't have said that.
Right.
So you just continue to go on and on. But then in the midst of it, if you're close to Christ, you get convicted.
Yeah.
And Christ says, come on, I'll forgive you, but this is how we're going to fix it.
And so again, he reiterates in verse 21, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. So it's not a thing of them not knowing. Isaiah prophesied this years ahead of time, and he pointed to it, and they knew the word. And the scribes are the ones that wrote it down. They knew they knew every. You ever seen someone? They knew every verse. They knew every scripture, every chapter. This is what the scribes' jobs were, and they were there. And if the Pharisees said, okay, where is such and such? The scribe would say, okay, it's Matthew 12, verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
This is how. Well, that's all they did. They knew it. They knew it. But it got to their head. You know, I know, Dr. G, you see preachers all the time. They're arrogant and puffed up and want to talk all big.
Come
on. And they want to lift from the Greek, and they want to exegese and exegesis, and they want to speak from the original Hebrew. And, and, you know, and all of this is not to help the congregation, but it's to swell their head up and show how learned I am, and how well you know I can and articulate and matriculate and all these things. But the people in the pew are like, well, what did he say? Or what did she say?
Amen.
He said something from the Greek and from the Hebrew and the exegesis and eisegesis, and I still don't know what he was talking about.
Amen. And you're right. And I learned that a long time ago. All that stuff is good to learn it and to understand it. But how is that going to help you when you're talking to lay folk who haven't been to school, who don't know all that junk. You've got to still break it down into simple language where they understand.
Well, I can
if
get help.
Sin, you're going to pay.
Mm.
You know, the wages of sin is death. Mm. All that highfalutin stuff is good, but it's not going to help them.
And you go to school and you learn all that stuff, and you're like, okay, all right. So when we come and we talk to the congregation and someone's having difficulty in their life and they're hurting, the exegesis and the eisegesis and the Greek and the Hebrew and the Latin is okay to know, but they need to know, how am I going to make it this evening when I go home and have to deal with my kids this
Amen.
Evening?
Amen.
Help me.
That's right.
I can't go home and talk about what the original Greek word means.
And that's where you'll lose. In fact, you'll actually push them out further.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times when people come to church, it truly is, and it's unfortunate, but a lot of times it's the last resort. It's like, I'm on my last. I've tried this. I've tried drinking. I've tried smoking. I've tried in another person. It's not, so let me go to church and get some. Maybe this is the void that's in my life.
Right.
But then we'll push that person even further away when a lot of times this is the last opportunity, that little ember that you're talking about, because we're talking way over their head. So then they'll just go back to the... What,
right. I don't understand it, right.
Oh, you'll put them to sleep.
Right. Hey. And it's all to make them look good.
Amen.
And you know, that's the wrong reason. Jesus told parables. He talked about farm stuff. Farm animals.
That's
he
right.
met them where they were at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in stories where they could relate to it.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you know, it's one thing to know that, you know this stuff, but don't get puffed up about it.
Right.
Jesus knew, he knew how the world was formed.
Amen.
Right.
I know when Job was getting a little weary, God asked him, Where were you?
Come on.
When I did all this.
Hello.
Job.
Come on.
You know, it's interesting that you brought Job up and in the context you're talking about as far as knowing the scripture. And Jessica had her first surgery when she was 13 on both her feet. The Bible study lesson that we had studied during that time was Job.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in the car the day before yesterday, and she gave the teenage version of Job. She didn't say the scripture word for word, but she said things like, yeah, and even his friends turned against him, his wife didn't like him anymore, and so she got the gist of the story, but she's like, but he never lost his faith in God.
Come on.
And she was relating it to what she just
what she went through, exactly.
But to your point, it wasn't in the these and the thous, but it was the basis of the story that stuck in her mind, and she was comparing it to what she's been through this year.
Amen, and that's what's so important. We can't get stuck on that. We really have to understand the compassion of the word that has to reach people where they are so they can apply it to their life. That's what the whole thing that God said. He sent his son. He said that he came that we might have life and that we would have that life more abundantly.
Amen.
And this has to be a way of life, not just something that we pick up and go to school and learn. It has to be a way of life. Yeah, you go to school and you can learn algebra 2 trig. But if you can't get the right change back for a 5 in the giant,
I'm not going to help you.
Amen.
<It's> nothing.
Come on now.
Yeah, educated fool.
Thank you. Thank you. I was thinking.
And there's nothing wrong with algebra 2 trig and learning how to do algorithms and things of that nature in order to have great software and programs that help people do things. But when I pick up the iPhone, I just want to be able to flip the thing open
and call
somebody or do an app. I don't need the algorithm and the algebra tree.
Break it down.
Right. I just want to flip it open and push a button.
Tell me what button to push, and
keep
you just
simple.
Figure out what goes on behind the
keep
scenes.
It simple.
I just needed your kiss approach. Keep it simple.
Exactly.
Actually, it's keep it simple.
That's all I need. How many of y'all want to know what technology went into the chip that stores the memory and the RAM and the Wi-Fi technology? I just need to flip it on, push the button, and it give me what I need.
That's right. I want to go in the room and flip the switch and the light come on.
Yeah. I don't need to know how the boiler creates the generation that comes down the transfer line. And
when I flush the toilet, I want it to go
just
down.
Just go down.
I don't need to know how all those things are.
Yeah. Right. We're good. And if it backs up, I need no call.
I don't need to know how all that, which one is connected to what, to do the what, the mm-mm.
Right.
Let me push the button and you know that other part.
These people that Jesus healed, they needed healing. When someone, they just needed to know who to go to, who to turn to
right.
get healed.
Right.
I can turn to Jesus,
yeah.
and I know he says his word, by his stripes right. I'm healed. I know where to go.
Yeah. Hello.
Amen.
Amen.
If the preacher can tell me that by his stripes I'm healed, if I can read it myself,
uh-huh.
I can say, God, you said in your word,
right.
by your stripes, I'm healed. Okay?
Amen. Amen. Or you, or one of my favorites, because we all have to cry sometimes. We just said it, the trouble in my way.
Yeah.
And if you can, if the preacher can tell me that weeping may endure for a night,
but
joy
coming in
the morning,
I'm good.
I'm good. That means that I'm still, I'm hurt right now, but if I trust in the Lord, I'm going to feel better. After
Amen. And so this is what they were trying to rail against. And then it, this came as the ugly part. It's one of the ugly part. I think it's one of the ugliest parts of Scripture is where they begin to start comparing Jesus to the
mm-hmm.
devil.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
And in
yep.
this instance, it becomes an unpardonable sin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that their minds were so corrupt.
Amen.
And they were so anti-God that they were actually blaspheme against God and actually call God the devil.
Mm.
It's just ugly.
That's bold.
Ugly. That's a dark part of the history of the people that are supposed to be representing God.
Mm-hmm.
It is a dark, dark place where these people are. That's why he called them whitewashed sepulchres full of dead men's bones, because
uh-oh.
They looked whitewashed on the outside, but inside they were rotten and nasty.
Come on.
And this is a let's read this. Here he is in verse 22. It says, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. Now he is with the devil, can't see, can't hear. Spirit. And he healed him in so much that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. People should be rejoicing,
right.
happy,
yeah.
glad.
Miraculous.
Look what God has done.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit removed, rebuked. They should be praising God, right?
Right.
Right?
Right.
So how many folk still come to church with hate rage?
Hello. A lot of people.
But look what happens. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David?
Oh.
It's like, well, this is just the carpenter's boy.
Uh-huh.
What's going on with this? Is this not the son of David? And in verse 24 says, but when the Pharisees heard it, here we go.
All them verses.
People were pumped up. This is the son of David. This is the Messiah coming, right?
Uh-huh.
And when the Pharisees heard it, right? They said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub,
mm.
the prince of the devil.
Mm. Mm. He's giving more credit to the devil.
White washed sepulchres full of dead men's bones.
Amen.
That's just corrupt.
That's honoring
That's just
the
mean.
Devil.
That's just nasty. That's just them. They're following their father, the devil.
Amen.
That's
yeah.
just how. That's just how nasty
yeah.
that people that are dead on the inside can
mm-hmm.
be, that you can see a miracle and someone be healed and blessed and just hate them so
yeah.
bad
yeah.
that they say that was just nothing of the devil.
Yeah.
It's ugly.
It's very ugly.
Religious leaders just so ugly that
Hello.
They can't accept God's blessing
Mm-mm.
on someone
mm-hmm.
that they have to relate it to the devil.
Come on now.
Isn't that nasty? That's
mm-hmm.
just ugly. That is so dark-sided. That's just those spiritual wickedness in dark places that are ruling and guiding them, that they can see the hand of God work out in the open and just discount it as, oh, that's just of the devil.
Mm. Mm.
And when he says an unpardonable sin, then these folks not going to make it in.
Nope. Mm-mm.
Let's look at verse, and Jesus so cool, so smooth, so blessed, so anointed. Look what he says in verse 25. It makes him look so foolish. He said, and Jesus knew their thoughts. And that's the thing about Jesus.
He knows what you see.
He knows their thoughts.
You can fake it with man, but you can't fake it with him.
Here he goes. What does he say? And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. He says, let's lose some common sense about this.
Hello.
Why would Satan destroy Satan? Cast out Satan. Why would Satan destroy his own kingdom?
Right, that makes no sense.
Listen to how dumb you sound. And we got some dummies out there.
True.
And in verse 26 it says, and if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? Mm. That's when you pause. You know you got that pause. Wait for it. Wait for it.
Uh-huh.
And you just looking at him.
That was one of those where they wish they would have had a 10-second moment before they said what they said.
And then he takes another step and tells them how dumb they are. In verse 27, and if Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out?
Ouch.
Therefore, they shall be your judges.
Hello.
In other words, he's saying, now you got folks that cast out your exorcists cast out devils, right?
Amen.
So in other words, you telling them that they're the devil.
Amen.
So now they're going to come and jump on your behind. How stupid is it? You saying I'm casting out devils? Your folk casting out devils? So whose side are they on? How dumb do they look? How stupid do they look? They got exorcists because they had exorcists and did stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
And they casting out. So it's like you telling us that your exorcists are demons too. And they just look so dumb. Look so stupid.
That's why they want to kill him.
Yeah, that's why they want to kill him. He said, now these folks that you calling dumb, they going to come and jump on you. So here he goes. In verse 28, he said, but if I cast out the devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. You can't see it. You don't understand. I'm not casting them out by the name of the devil, but I'm coming it out
in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. In the name of the Spirit. And
right.
You're seeing it. Now, what Isaiah prophesied is come to you.
Right.
But you can't see it because you're stuck on stupid in your own stuff.
In your own stuff. And it's all about you and your way.
The kingdom of God has come to you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's all about not one third, not one to change, one to have my way. And people see what they want to see.
Hello.
They hear what they want to hear. They do what they want to do. But then when they get in the mess, they don't understand why.
It's plain to see where people put their motives and their ways and their thoughts. And that's why you got to be so humble.
Mm-hmm.
You have to humble it because the flesh will stand up and want to take credit and do its own
right.
thing. But you got to be humble to say, this is God's work. This is God's doing. I'm working. I'm a servant. And that's why, you know, a lot of times where people get into ministry, Dr. G, you know, you have to be careful for putting titles.
That's right.
And if you call people a minister, I don't care if you have a PhD or
uh-huh.
a doctorate of humane letters all the way up, you're still a servant.
Amen.
Right. Right.
A minister is a servant.
Amen.
Right.
And all the titles and all the degrees and all the positions, you're still a servant.
Right.
And you're a servant of the Most High God.
Right.
That He is the one that should get the honor, the glory, and
correct.
The praise. And we should be servant.
Amen.
Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom?
Hello.
The greatest of the kingdom is the least, the one that serves.
That's right.
That's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And if we can get that to the point of letting God get the glory, then we won't be going through these gyrations of, well, you the devil. No, you the devil. No, you didn't. Well, you said it. Well, you didn't. Well, I'm doctor. Well, I'm this. I'm that. No. Humble yourself to the point where you say, I'm just doing the Lord's work.
Amen.
I'm a servant of the Most High God. I don't need all this credit. I don't need to be recognized.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you to be able to know God in a way
right.
where you can have a personal relationship with God
right.
and have this abundant life that he said that we can have.
Amen.
And if we can get past, how in the world are you going to call God the devil?
Hello.
People do what
that
they want
to
do.
That is just
bold.
Dark and ugly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those folks are going to have to answer for that.
They know.
Well, I've seen some of the ugliest fights in the church between people that the week before were singing and giving God the glory together and just lashing out at each other, and you're in God's house.
We're going to go to the phone line. We're going to finish this next week, but let's go to the studio. Let's ask the question. The question is, how do we stay humble and not let the flesh get so ugly and selfish? How do we stay humble?
1 Peter, 3rd chapter, 15th verse. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Then be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks if you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear.
Amen.
We are to reach out to those that we consider undesirable or desirable, because we all have a standard that we gauge people by sometimes.
Yeah.
And if they don't meet that particular standard, well, they just don't fit. But thank God for Jesus Christ. He doesn't look at the outward.
Mm-hmm.
He looks at the inward.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants everyone to be saved.
Amen.
And that should be our attitude. And if anyone comes upon us and asks that reason of hope, as Peter was saying,
that's right.
We must. It's a necessity to give them the words of life.
Amen.
And not death.
Amen.
Speaking to those dry bones, life. Not death. And this is something Christ, he always reached out to people because he had the love of God for people. And hopefully we can be more Christ-like because we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So the question is, how do we remain humble?
How do we remain humble and not get, it's like we got saved. And it's like, well, getting saved, it's almost like the flesh takes on this thing of a piousness. How do we remain humble and still be able to be effective and be used by God and still be able to remain compassionate? But we got to stay humble.
Yeah, I think, in my opinion, I know this is, we can take this as deep as we possibly can go, but I think the underlying foundation of humbleness is all just a mindset and understanding, putting things in perspective that even though you've achieved one step or if you created one milestone, there's still a journey, there's still a process, there's still learning that has to take place. So I think people get so excited, as the Sister Gregory said, or they're patting you on the back or they're congratulating. People forget where they were, number one, and how easy they can go back there, because you can take steps forward, but you can also fall back. Secondly, remember, too, that there's still a journey in a path. So I think it's, people must realize, you know, putting that in the perspective of Christianity and Christ, is that you're going to have some milestones, you're going to have some achievement, but you're always seeking to be better and continue to grow. Pastor Gregory said it earlier. You can be in this lifestyle, this Christianity for years and years and years. You still have a ways to go. You still have much you can learn. The ministers can learn. Just because people are preaching to us doesn't mean that they've got what I'm looking or what I lack. I may be able to help them with something, but it's all about being humble and realizing that your journey is not just about you, but it's also about, as you continue to grow, you bring people with you, and then you have people with you who are aspiring to work, but you have to remain humble because Christ was humble, and even when you get to heaven, you still got to remain humble, you know, because, you know, Satan, he got kicked out of heaven. I was reading that the other day, no joke, he was reading that the other day because he started getting beside himself and doing some things, and God kicked him out of heaven. I think he was like the number one angel or the right next to him. He got kicked out. So just think about that. So, I mean, the main perspective is that being humble has always just been a mindset, just to basically say, here's where I'm at. Let me not lose perspective where I've come from and where I'm going to go. Because at the end of the day, like I said, you can be great, have a great week, have, you know, move 3-4 steps up, boom, something could happen. You could be worse off than where you were before. So humble is also, hey, Don't forget where you came from. You can, you know, because yeah. So I think if you remain humble, then God can use you as a vessel, because He wants humble people to be able to, He can work through and to reach out to people and touch people. So if you're not humble, God can't use you.
Nope.
He's not going to be able to use you. And I use myself as an example. Yes, I've grown as a piano player. I'm about to say minister of music. I've grown as a piano player since I've been at this church, but I never lose sight. I continue to work hard. When I get songs, I continue to practice. I continue to go to say, even though this is where I was, I can easily get back there if I stop doing what I did to get to this point. So don't forget all the steps and things you've gone through to get to that point. And it's okay to pat yourself on the back, whatever, but get back in the game and remember that you still have a ways to go. And the only way you're going to do that and be used by Christ is to remain humble.
Amen.
And we're going to go to the phone line, but Dr. G, when you remain humble, then you don't get into these arguments and look at me
Thank
or look
you.
In debates and,
Thank you.
And divisiveness
Thank
and
you.
You said this or you
Thank
did
you.
This. When you remain humble, it's like, it's about Christ.
Thank you.
I'm not going to get into you with that, what you saying
Amen.
That or what you doing, you
mm-hmm.
know. Let's keep going and being Christ-like.
Amen.
So we're going to go to the phone line, last four digits, 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
One of the ways we can stay humble is just remember it's God's grace and mercy that help us where we are today, nothing that we've done on our own. And the other is to have a childlike faith. If
Amen.
We keep that childlike faith and attitude, then we know that Jesus is on the throne and we're not on the throne. And everything that we have received, everything that we do come from the Lord. He only allows us to serve Him. It's not that we are worthy. It's just that He
All
loves
right.
us so much that He will take the mess. And Lord knows we got a lot of stuff, including myself.
Amen.
That's right.
God
Amen.
Will take the mess in us and Amen. Make something out of it. Because if He didn't see the beauty in us, we wouldn't be worth 2 cents.
Hallelujah.
So it's just by God's Amen. Grace.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. I just, Dr. Z, I feel like I'm just, it's shocking for people to just say that you did something and it was the devil that did it. Oh, my gosh, and tell Jesus that.
Amen.
We're going to go to the last four digits, 9772. 9772, how do we remain humble? You're on the air.
Good evening, everybody. I'm humble.
Good evening.
I'm humble all the way. I'm on my knees every morning. I'm on my way. I'm still riding the road, and I'm coming on up, and I got to stay humble. I got to get to the top,
Amen.
So I'm going to keep on working.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Amen.
God bless.
Amen. Thank you
Amen.
For your comment tonight. Stay on your knees. Amen. I like that. We're going to go to 7971. How do we stay humble? 7971.
Good evening, everyone. Pastor Gregory and Sister Sheila, welcome back. We miss you. Being humble, it becomes a part of your Christian life. And we all know that God was so graceful in making us who we are, humbling our hearts to be like His heart. And it becomes a part of you. It becomes automatic. It becomes a part of you to live that Christian life, to remember where you came from, how you got where you are today. And we are humble and we are compassionate. Our faith kicks in. And it keeps you on course. It keeps you on the straight and narrow. And it's just a part of your everyday Christian life, being humble. You know you're not, you might think you are one way, but the bottom line is you are, in the sight of God, a servant. You are
Amen.
Under, you have to stay in line under Him, and in order to stay in line under Him, you have to be humble, kind-hearted, and all of the things that He says that we are supposed to be as Christians. So being humble is the first step of a good Christian life, loving others, being able to recognize who you are and whose you are and stay meek in your walk.
Yeah.
and being humble at all times. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. I'm going to take one more caller. Caller, last four digits, 9383. Got the computer coming up. Almost there. Running a little slow. 9383. You are on the air, 9383. You still with us? Yo, what's this, 9383? Must be listening in. All right, Sheila G, well, that's going to, we'll pick up about this blaspheme against the Holy Spirit next week. But it's when you look at this and say, wow, these people had some nerve.
Yeah,
they do.
Bold.
Oh, my God.
Arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like there was no fear
mm-hmm.
of just saying that to God. And some people let everything come out of their mouth.
They do. Mm-hmm.
And you just can't let anything and everything come out of your mouth.
That's right.
You got to know the word and know the power of
Hello.
God.
Mm-hmm.
That if he can heal these people, they can't see, they can't hear, they can't talk, and now they can see, they hear, they talk, and they're not possessed anymore.
Right.
Who's doing that? Nobody else is doing that but God.
But God. But God.
And you have the audacity to say, oh, that's nothing but the devil.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna get off my high horse, Sheila G.
God, it's true.
Let you your comments and close us out.
My final comments are that we need to become as humble as Christ is, and not be so important. I was at a women's conference a couple of months ago, and a lot of us were going through something, and everything all of the speakers had, we had it documented, written down.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we were gonna say. But when we got up there, the Holy Spirit just took us all in a different direction. Because we were all going someplace.
Mm-hmm,
but then
mm-hmm.
at the end, there was this one person who'd been a minister for years and years and years and years. And she was saying that, yes, all these wonderful testimonies and everything that everybody's sharing is great. But we really just need to just share the scripture. Which we were all sharing the scripture, but we were sharing the scripture within our lives. Not in the,
right.
you know, the specifics or the, with the these and the thous in it.
Right.
And had we not drawn as close as we were to the Lord,
mm-hmm.
it could have taken that conference in another direction.
Right.
But we all recognize that God wanted to have this, but the devil's always going to try to put
And use somebody.
Use somebody
mm-hmm.
to cause some divisiveness or to kick things off. And it's important that we recognize that the devil's going to come in and try to cause divisiveness, but we as leadership in the church and as children of Christ, we need to keep that humility and keep that focus on God
mm-hmm.
and not focus on when the devil is trying to cause confusion.
Amen.
And that's all I have to say. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you once again for another Bible study night. Lord, I thank you for what we have learned in your word. I pray that we will take that word and hide it in our hearts, Lord, and go out and show compassion to help draw others to Christ, Lord. Meet people where they are, Lord. Recognize
yeah.
that you have met us and you continue to meet us where we are, Lord. Help us to get out into the sin-sick world and tell them all about you, Lord. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's going to do it for us tonight. Hopefully we'll see you on next Thursday night. Good night. Ugly.